Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
And I guarantee you, Christian, no matter how old you are, no matter how strong you've been, no matter what you do for God, if the Word of God doesn't have its priority in your life, then you're not healthy spiritually. In order to be healthy spiritually, you got to be memorizing, reading, going over God's Word, applying, bringing it into your life.
When you're faced with a problem or a question about what to do in your life, maybe in a relationship, where do you turn? Do you automatically go to phone a friend, maybe call your mom or dad? Or do you turn to the pages of Scripture and your Heavenly Father? A lot of people look at the Bible as nothing more than a history book, but God's Word has answers for your life today. One of God's greatest prophets found his strength and answers in consistently searching the Scriptures. We begin today in Daniel chapter 9. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we are truly blessed by the time that we can spend here in your Word. And we open up our Bibles. We want to hear from you. And an amazing thing that a book that is written some 2,000 to 3,500 years ago can speak to us so readily and can meet our needs. We're amazed. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher today. We know that it is you that brings these things to life in our lives. We ask you to do that today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It has been said that Daniel was the point of the wedge that God used to drive into his generation. Now, let me make that statement again. It has been said that Daniel was the point on the wedge that God used to drive into his generation. Now, I love that statement. It gives us a great picture as to the significance of Daniel's life during the times of Daniel. But I have a question about it. If Daniel really was the point of the wedge to his generation that God used in his generation, how do you become the point on the wedge? How is it that you become an individual that God uses to lead the way? Is it predestination? Is it that you're just either predetermined to do that or you're not? Is it dumb luck? Is it that, you know, where you are, you just happen to be in the right place in the right time with the right giftings and all of a sudden you were used? It's been said that there have been times that have made great men. That is so true, isn't it? There are certain men that would have never have been great if it had not been for the crisis of their times that made them great. Is it just being in the right place at the right time, or is it something else? Well, I think by the way that I've started this study, you guys can sense that I think it's something else. See, the Bible tells us that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that God shows Himself strong to those who have loyal hearts. Those who don't trust in this world, those who trust in God. Those who don't trust in money, those who trust in God. Those who don't trust in different people, but those who trust in God. God says, "You trust in me, and I will show myself strong to you." Those who decide, "I want a passion with God." The Bible says if you wait on the Lord, you will mount up with wings like an eagle. Imagine that. You'll mount up with wings like an eagle. A lot of us are running along the ground like a quail. We get flight once in a while, and then we're back running again along the ground. But God wants us to soar like an eagle. I want to soar like an eagle. I don't want short bursts of flight like a quail. I'm afraid too often that's what I have. I get up and I'm like an eagle. I'm 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 running on the ground again. I believe that we can become the point and the wedge that God uses in the world around us. I believe that we can become a significant individual in God's plan. See, the Bible tells us that at one point in history, and I want you to think about this, at one point in history, the Bible says God looked for a man to stand in the gap and there was none. Can you imagine? Out of all the people on the face of the earth, God was looking for just one man who would say, "It's not about my life. It's about you and it's about yours, God. And I will be that man that will stand in the gap for you." But there was none. There was another time that Isaiah was allowed to listen in on heaven. And Isaiah heard God say, "Who will we send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. I want to be that one." May we say, "Here I am, God. send me. There's a world that so desperately needs Jesus. There's a world that is lonely and brokenhearted and searching. They have no idea what they're looking for. And Jesus is looking for hands and feet, for salt and light to make a difference. Well, Daniel was the kind of man that was used by God, but I don't think it was dumb luck. I believe it was Daniel who had a heart to be used by God, who had a heart to soar like an eagle. We already know from previous passages that Daniel prioritized prayer in his life. He was a man that prayed 3 times a day for his whole life, well into his 80s, from the time that he was a teenager, maybe from the time he was a boy, until he was 80-something years old, 3 times a day. And that's got to form you into a man of God. I think we can do that. I don't believe that's beyond our reach. I believe that we can make prayer a priority in our lives. You don't have to pray for 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours at night. Just pray. Pray until you're done. Just call out to God. For those of you that are here that are young, if God tarries, what a challenge. Begin to pray every night, every morning. Get up and sit on the edge of your bed and say, Lord, I just give this day to you. I need your help, and help my mom, help my dad, help, you know, whatever. Just begin to pray. Help me to live for you today, not live for my own means and my own ways. Begin to seek God. It doesn't take that much to have that kind of priority. Well, Daniel also had another priority that's revealed to us here in this chapter. And I think we've got to understand the time of this chapter in order to understand the priority in Daniel's life. It was uncertain times. Does that remind you of anything? It was times when he didn't know what was going to take place. There was a change in administration. Not only was there a change in administration, there was a change in government, the entire government. The Babylonians were no longer in charge, and the Persians were. That's what verse 1 of Daniel chapter 9 says. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign. Uncertainty. We certainly have it today. Where's our world going? What's going to happen to jobs? What's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen in the war on terror? Just this last week, an attack in India. Where are things going to go? We don't know. All of this is uncertain for us. We certainly live in uncertain times. Just as Daniel, when he began to pray this prayer. What did that uncertainty drive Daniel to? Well, verse 2 tells us, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years. Well, what does he mean when he says, I understood by the books? You know what the books are? The scriptures. See, now Daniel didn't have what we have in front of us today. We have the whole New Testament he didn't have. We have some of the minor prophets that he didn't have. But other than that, Daniel had access to what we have in front of us. He had access to the first 5 books of the Bible, to the books of history, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Samuel. He had access to the Psalms. Those were books that he could study and read. And Daniel, what we're going to learn about Daniel today is that he not only prioritized prayer in his life, but he prioritized the Word of God. He spent time in the books. Now, I want you to think about this because Daniel lived in a time where they didn't have eyeglasses. That's important when you're 86 years old, right? Those of you who are 86 years old and with us today, the older I get, the larger print Bibles I look for. I used to buy the absolute smallest Bible I could carry because I thought it was cool. I found one that was about that narrow and about that big, and I used to carry that one around. I used to read from it up here and tell my wife, and wives are so good for so many things. And one day she said, you know, you're misreading a lot of words. I think maybe you ought to get a bigger print Bible. So I got this thing. Look at that. Look at the words in that thing. If I could find it bigger, I would. All right? So Daniel's 86 years old, and I picture him in the dark room, candle lit, walls flickering from the candle, Daniel rolling out those scrolls of Deuteronomy and Exodus and Leviticus and Jeremiah, looking at him, maybe getting the light just right, maybe uncomfortable on his stool because the older you get, the more uncomfortable you get too, and just kind of trying to get comfortable and trying to get the right light so his eyes can see it. He read the Word of God. He was committed to it. Now, the Bible tells us a few things about the Bible. It tells us spiritually we can't grow without it. It tells us that it is the milk and the meat of God's Word. For newborn babes that are here, for those of you who are brand new Christians, you're never going to grow unless you drink the milk of God's Word. You're not going to know what God is about, what He wants from you, and where He wants to go. You're never going to know the power that can be in your life until you begin to read, study, memorize, and know God's Word. And it will transform you. It will change your life. It will make you into someone that God wants you to become. For those of us that are older, the meat of God's Word is still so very important. How can we be who we're supposed to be without God's Word? There's something that happens when I get a principle from God's Word. One of my favorite authors is Warren Wiersbe. One of the things about Warren Wiersbe's writings that I really enjoy is that he will make a principle, and then he will give 5 or 6 scriptures to back up what he said. He gives that principle, bam, 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 bam. By the time I'm done reading the verses, and oftentimes in his books, he gives the verses, the actual verses, broken out. And so I'm done reading them, I'm excited. I find myself going, yeah, that's God's Word. The meat of God's Word by which we can grow and become who we're supposed to be. And I guarantee you, Christian, no matter how old you are, no matter how strong you've been, no matter what you do for God, if the Word of God doesn't have its priority in your life, then you're not healthy spiritually. In order to be healthy spiritually, you got to be memorizing, reading, going over God's Word, applying, bringing it into your life. Well, Daniel, in uncertain times, turned to the Word of God. Well, I don't know that Daniel just went to God because it was uncertain times. I think Daniel, it doesn't say this here, but this is my opinion. I think Daniel read the Word in certain times and uncertain times. He didn't just turn to the Bible because things were uncertain. He was just doing what he does. But it's interesting to note that during that uncertain times, Daniel, verse 2 again, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Daniel would remember Jeremiah. Daniel was just a kid when Jeremiah would stumble into the temple, give his prophecies. Jeremiah was arrested and beaten because of what he said. He would stand up and say, you guys have turned your back upon God, you're living in your idolatry, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and take you into captivity, and you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. I don't know if Daniel ever saw Jeremiah face to face. Never says he did. He could have. Jeremiah was an old man when Daniel was a young man. Jeremiah was in Jerusalem. Daniel was in Jerusalem during the time of Jeremiah's ministry. Certainly seems like he could. Maybe he was influential in Daniel. Maybe when Daniel was a young man, he looked at Jeremiah and he thought, I want to serve God like that. I want to live for God. Maybe it was influential. But now he's older and he's reading the writings of Jeremiah. And all of a sudden he notes that Jeremiah said, you guys are going to be taken into captivity for 70 years, thus says the Lord. So all of a sudden Daniel's reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden it jumps out at him. All of a sudden he gets a hold of him. All of a sudden he goes, 70 years? Well, I was a teenager when I went into captivity, and I'm 80-something years old now. That's 40, 60, that's almost 70 years. All of a sudden it dawns on Daniel that God's timetable is about to move again. That God's been stalled for 70 years, but it's about to start rolling again. And it strikes Daniel. Daniel starts to move because of what he's read in God's Word. Now listen, it's possible to read God's Word. It's possible to be struck. It's possible to be moved in your heart and never do anything about it. That's where Jesus said, if you hear my words and do them, you're like a man that builds your house on a rock. And the storm comes and your house stays. But a man who hears the word and doesn't do it is like a man that builds his house on the sand. And the storm comes and great is the fall of that house. Some of us are like that. We've heard God's word. It strikes us, but we just don't move on it. And our houses are still on the sand. Well, Daniel is so struck that he moves. Look at how he responds in verse 3. See it there? He says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests and by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel said, so I decided to do something about what I read. And I went to go seek after God and make prayers and supplications to him with sackcloth and ashes and fasting. Fasting, we know what that is. It's not eating. Sackcloth is a way that they would mourn. Sackcloth and ashes. They put on sackcloth for 2 reasons. Number 1, it was ugly. Wasn't flashy. Number 2, it was uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Sackcloth was extremely itchy. But they would wear it when they would mourn to show people, I don't care what I look like. I have a loss in my life. It would be the equivalent today of people wearing black to a funeral. A woman wearing a black dress to kind of speak of the grief that she's going through as she's at this funeral. That'd be the equivalent of what the sackcloth and ashes were. Daniel went out and he found a fire pit full of ashes, picked up the ashes and he rubbed them on his face. And he threw them in his hair. He walked around and anybody that saw Daniel would, sackcloth and ashes. Daniel was one of the main administrations under Darius or Gabaru the Mede under his administration at this point in time. Now he's in sackcloth and his face is covered in ashes. He begins to call out to God. He begins to make supplications to God. The rest of this study surrounds his prayer. Now, a few things I note about Daniel's prayer. Number one, verse 4, "And I pray to the Lord my God." The first thing that I note is that this is a very personal prayer. He's going to talk about how awesome God is, how great God is in this prayer. But before he ever gets to the awesomeness of God, the greatness of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God, before he ever gets there, he says, it's my God, mine. Prayer is always powerful when it's personal. You ever hear somebody pray and they stand up and it is so far from personal? They stand up and they say, "Oh, most heavenly, omnipotent, all-powerful God, we come to thee today and ask thee that thou would look upon us with, you know." And you think, who's he praying to? And who talks like that anyway? Because that kind of a voice. It's the only time they ever use it. "Yes, Lord, I come before you today." Well, that's a guy that's got a pretty distant God. He's a God that isn't that close. The Bible says that we have received the Spirit of God by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You know what the word Abba means? Dad. You and I have received the very Spirit of God that draws us into a relationship with God, that He's our dad. He's our dad. I was texting my daughter last night on the way home from church. I don't text very well. It's a pretty dangerous thing for me. Well, I'm texting her and I was like, "What study are you going to go into?" I'm just harassing her because she's busy and she's, "Well, I'm not going to go into any of them." "Oh, why not?" And so I talked to him, "Well, Emma needs to hear the word preached." And I'm just harassing her, right? And so finally she's starting to make excuses and I go, "Just kidding. I love you. Just have a good night." And she texts back, "Good night, Daddy." And I looked at it and I thought, that's great. Because none of my boys are calling me Daddy now. My boys are well past the daddy stage. That's that personal relationship. And that's Abba Father that we say to him, the heavenly texting, prayer, Daddy, Dad. It's that personal relationship. I love that it's personal. See, God cares about you. God wants the best for you. God really does. Listen, God's on your side. Isn't that amazing? God's in your corner. God's the one that's rubbing your neck when you, okay, get back out there again. Watch the jab. God's on your side. He wants you to win. He don't want you to go down. He wants you to win. So we go to him like that. We go to him for one who cares about us, who loves us, who's on our side, who wants the very best for us. Very, very personal. And he says, "And I prayed, O Lord my God, and I made confessions." The next thing we note about his prayer is that he confessed his sins. Now, Daniel, search as you might through the life of Daniel, you will not find a sin for Daniel. The Bible never tells us that Daniel sinned. Now, Daniel sinned, didn't he? Just like the rest of us, we know that he did, just none of them are recorded. So Daniel makes confessions. Now, I know for me, when I begin to pray, I find that's the first thing that I do. Not because of any biblical sense that I need to pray and ask for forgiveness before I can go on, because I believe that my sins are forgiven by the work on the cross. But I'm just so aware of my own shortcomings. Are you that way? I'm aware of my own sin that I stand before God. God, I'm sorry. It's like I was watching Tool Time the other day. You guys know that show? Everybody here, of course, knows that show. And Tim Allen says in the show, he's telling somebody about his wife, he says, "You know, I've learned the secret to my marriage is that I wake up every morning, I look over at my wife and I look in her eyes and I say, honey, I'm sorry." He says, that's the secret. Now it's my relationship with God. Every day I wake up and God, I'm sorry. I haven't even begun the day yet. I just woke up. God, I'm sorry. Because I know somewhere along the line I've done something wrong. I realize that. We make confessions, we make things right, short accounts with God, knowing that there is forgiveness with God and short accounts. He confesses, and I love the next thing he does. He says, "And I made confessions, and I said, O Lord, great and awesome God. Cried out to my God, O Lord, great and awesome God." He put things in perspective right away. You're a great and awesome God. The early church, they've had some expectation problems. When they started, we know that 120 gathered together on the day of Pentecost in an upper room. Remember that in Acts chapter 2? And that the Holy Spirit fell upon them. There's a rushing wind that came into that room and tongues of fire lighted upon their heads and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter got up and he began to preach there in the the courtyard of the temple, where there were people gathered from all around the world coming to worship the living God. And as Peter began to preach the first message of the church by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says 3,000 people get saved. What a great message. What a great start for the church. I imagine those 120 said, "This is going to be easy. We're going to take the world by storm." 3,000 on the very first message. Start adding that up. We'll do one tomorrow and the next day and the next day. It's going to be huge. Then all of a sudden, James is killed by the sword. Word goes through the 120, through the 3,000. James is killed, James is killed, James is killed, James got killed. And then Peter's arrested and miraculously released from prison. And then another group of them are taken and beaten. They arrest them and they beat them. Maybe they thought, this isn't what we signed on for. We like the 3,000 getting saved by the power of the Holy Spirit, not the 20 getting beaten by the Jewish officials. And then they threatened them. They said, "You guys keep preaching in the name of Jesus and we're going to kill you." They let them go. They went back to the others and they gathered together and they said, "We got to pray." They called out to God, and I love how they started. They started by putting things in perspective, much like Daniel did. Oh, great and awesome God. They said, "Lord, you created the heavens and the earth and all that's in them. Now consider their threats." See the difference? You created the heaven, the earth, and all that's in them. What's their threats compared to that? You're so powerful, you created everything. Now what's their threats? Now, if I were there, this is how I would have prayed. This would have been the rest of the prayer for me. "Lord, you created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. Now consider their threats and please don't let me get hurt." Right? Don't let any of us get beat up. Don't let any of us die. "Lord, don't let any of us be like James. Protect us and keep us from harm." That would have been my prayer. They didn't pray that way. You know what they prayed? "God, you created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. Now consider their threats and give us boldness so that we can preach the word." Isn't that great? Give us boldness, because they realized the word of God is what changes lives and transforms people and changes their destiny. Where people are destined for hell, now their eternity is changed by the preaching of the word of God. No wonder the Bible says the room that they were in was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. God said, "Now I can answer that prayer." They were still beaten, killed, persecuted by Saul, who would become one of the leaders of the church in Paul. He was persecuting them during those days. So Daniel gets the picture. It's great and awesome God. How big's your God? Got a problem? It's right here. "Lord, I got this problem. You can never fix this." Back it away, and all of a sudden you put it in perspective. How big's the sun? It's huge, right? You can block it out with your hand. That's what our problems do to God. We get our problems, it's like, "God, there you are, great, awesome, and powerful, but look at this problem." It's all you can see. Put God in perspective. See what he can do. Now Daniel then begins to pray. He gets to the heart of his prayer after putting things in perspective. "Oh Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenants and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments." But he says, "But we haven't." And note the word "we." "We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and judgments." Now, my question is this. Had Daniel done wickedly by departing from God's precepts and judgments? No. Daniel had followed God's precepts and judgments. But Daniel, now, realizing that God is about to restore Jerusalem, identifies with his people.
We hope you've been blessed by Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Tucson. It is our prayer that our Bible teachings would help you to understand and apply God's powerful word to your life every day. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East or Southwest Tucson. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study and drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.